other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, and good to have you with us today. And many of you listening are just getting back from either Philadelphia, New York, or Washington, where you had an opportunity to listen to and to see the Holy Father, Pope Francis. And from what I'm hearing, it was quite successful, and a lot of you have really, really been touched. And some of you have even had an opportunity to meet privately with the Pope right here from the Twin Cities. Mary Jo Copeland had an opportunity, and we hope to talk to her in the next few weeks about her visit where she met with the Holy Father in Washington, and no doubt discussed her very fine work here in the Twin Cities with caring and sharing hands. She's been recognized by an awful lot of people. She went to the White House not too long ago, and President Obama recognized her and gave her quite an honor. And then last week with Pope Francis. Lots of good things happening in the Twin Cities. This is the Rediscover Hour, where we talk about evangelization, we talk about building our churches, we talk about sharing Christ with other people. And just about a week and a half ago, we had really a wonderful opportunity with the St. Paul Street Evangelization team who came into the Twin Cities, and we had about 180, 175 people came together for a Friday night and all day Saturday to learn how to share their faith with people at work, at home, neighbors, even on the street with complete strangers. And then at the end of the day on Saturday, people went out on Grand Avenue and shared Christ with people and found out where people were hurting and really took an interest. And that was powerful, you know, very, very powerful. I if someone would have told me 25 years ago that 170 Catholics would be canvassing the streets of St. Paul and Minneapolis to share Christ, I would have said, I don't know. I don't know about that. But you know what? Times are changing, and churches are changing. And we're going to be talking in just a minute or two here with Father James Mallon, and he's got a very, very exciting book that I want to introduce it to you, because here in the Archdiocese, we're making it our Rediscover Book Club offering, and all of the book clubs around the Twin Cities, we're encouraging you to read this book called Divine Renovation, From a Maintenance to a Mission Parish. And that's an interesting concept that we're going to talk with Father Mallon about. Is your church a church of maintenance? Is that what you're primarily focused on, is maintenance? Or is your church focused on mission? Are you out there on the streets? Are you out there in the homes, at work, your neighbors? Are you on a mission from Jesus to go out there and to change the world? That's really what makes church exciting, doesn't it? It makes our own lives exciting. It's one thing to listen to Jesus and to learn. And I love that. You know I love that. And teach the Bible. But I'll tell you, it's when he looks at you and says, now go and do what I'm doing. And you do it. That's when life really begins to change for you, as you realize that the love of God, the wisdom of God, the justice, the mercy of God is flowing through you. You're no longer a spectator watching, you know, the events of the kingdom of God, but you're in it. You're in the arena now. You're not up in the stands, but you are on stage and you are living the life of Christ. And I absolutely love that. I love it. Well, joining us on the show today is Father James Mallon. He comes from Nova Scotia, and I understand that it's raining there and got a little inclement weather. He is the pastor of St. Benedict Parish in the Archdiocese of Halifax, Nova Scotia, founder and chair of the board of the JP2 Media Institute, and he is a speaker on the topics of parish renewal and new evangelization. Father Mallon, thanks for joining us for a few minutes today.
Jeff, it's my pleasure.
You and I had an opportunity just to be with each other out in Denver for the amazing parish conference, and no doubt people are very, very hungry to renovate their parish, to change their parish. You know, and it's not unlike family homes where people say, we got to do something to get this family in order and kind of reorganize, isn't it?
That's right. I think you know, even in parishes that, relatively speaking, are doing fairly well. But there's this kind of underlying sense that things could be better. Things could be better, and that you know, acknowledging that feeling, that discontent, is usually the beginning of something good happening.
Sure. When you talk about going from a parish of maintenance to a parish of mission, I think a lot of people might get that right away, but kind of define that for us if we don't recognize that in our own parish.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think when people hear the term maintenance, they immediately think of, oh, that's when you maintain your buildings and maintain your grounds. And certainly for some parishes, that can be a real struggle, to maintain the infrastructure and building and the administration. You go up a level and you might say, well, maybe maintenance means maintaining your programs and your ministries that you're doing. And it could also apply to that. And then lastly, maintenance can simply mean maintaining your flock, mm-hmm. keeping your flock. And all of these tasks, maintaining buildings, administrative structures, ministries in the people themselves, that is no easy thing to do. You know, especially in today's toxic culture, you know, we're now in a thoroughly post-Christian, post-modern culture. And as I think it's the quote from Alice in Wonderland, you know, in order to stay in the same place, you've got to run faster and faster all the time. So let's be clear that the work of maintenance is hard work. And in truth, very few parishes are actually maintaining their flock and their ministries and their structure. Things can look good on the outside, but if we actually look at what's happening with people, we can say, oh my goodness, we're actually losing people. However, even if we are doing that, and that's no easy thing to do, that is not our call. We're not called to maintain the flock. We're called to leave the 99 to go after the proverbial one. Mm-hmm. We're called to not just be pastors of sheep, but to be fishers of men. And so there's always that tension. But inherently, the parish is missionally focused as opposed to maintenance. And it ultimately boils down to this question. Is the parish inward focus or outward focus? Is the parish become, in a sense, like a kind of club for members?
Right.
Is it all about us, or is it about us going out to others? That's the core difference between maintenance and mission.
And every church can evaluate where they're at on that. Is there, in your book, Divine Renovation, which we're making it available, we want all of our book clubs in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, to read it, you know, and to evaluate where is your church at? What does that process look like, without kind of giving everything away in the book? What does the process look like?
Well, I think, first of all, it can answer, you can get a sense right away by saying, what's the plan? Where are we going? And if the leadership of the church, the pastor, the staff, the pastoral council, if they give you a blank stare when you ask this question, right away you know, okay, this probably is not a missionary parish, because to be missionary is to be sent. And it's the same word as apostle. You see, this is why Pope Francis talks about missionary disciples, that we know from Matthew 28 that the primary task of the church is to make disciples, you know, go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them.
Right.
And, but once we make disciples, we have to in turn help those disciples to become apostles, mm-hmm. who go out and make other disciples. So, and of course, missionary and apostle are the same words. One is Greek based, one is Latin. So it means to be sent, to be going. And that's our call. And a parish can quickly, you know, if there's no sense of where are we going, that gives you a sense that a parish is probably in maintenance mode. The good news is that it's never too late. It's never too late to begin to ask those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But before you can actually go somewhere, you've got to know a number of things. You've got to say, where are we going? You know, so that's an issue of vision. Vision is about direction. And before you can plan where you're going, you need to be able to know where are you currently. I think of, you know, when you go to the shopping mall, you say, I want to buy some shoes. So you go up to that big board thing and you find the shoe shop. So you find out where you're going. And then before you can make a plan, then the next thing you look for is that big red dot that says you are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to what you're saying. How do we currently evaluate what we're doing? And I do speak about that in the book. And once you've got those two reference points and you've got a compass for direction, which is our purpose, to make disciples, then you can begin to develop a plan.
We're talking with Father James Mallon up in Nova Scotia. He is the author of Divine Renovation, from a maintenance to a mission parish. Father, who are the key figures in the church? Are there key positions in the church that really have to be a part of this? Are there positions that we might not think are should be a part of it, but really should be?
Yeah, well, the easy answer is that the ultimate is through the leadership of the parish priest, the pastor is to win people over to this vision of change, and so really to win everyone over, and it's really, you know, the call in the leader's heart that the pastor is towards a specific direction. And here's one thing that often in parishes the attempt to renew often falls short, is when that vision that may burn in the heart of the pastor is not adequately communicated to other people. Mm-hmm. And when I say communicated, I don't mean put in the bulletin or put up on the wall. We need to win people over. We need to work with people to a place where they say, yeah, I want that kind of church as well. You're right. You're right. And I'm willing to do what it takes, because generally, most people in the church today want change. If you say to people, do you want a more dynamic church? Yes. Do you want a more vibrant church? Yes. Do you want a church that's more loving, a church that serves the poor, a church that proclaims Christ, a church that is healthy and where people grow? Everyone wants the change, but the problem is no one wants to change. Because change is always painful.
Yeah.
And it's the job of the leader to raise awareness to the point that we realize that the pain of staying where we are is actually greater than the pain of changing. And so the task of communicating vision, winning people over, is really key. And I think the parish priest has to sit down and say, okay, who are the key people I need to win over? Who are the people in prayer ministry to begin with? That's a solid foundation. Get your prayer warriors to begin to pray at this, win them over. And then, of course, we need to get parish staff on board, all the ministry leaders. And there can be key influencers in a parish that may not even have an official title or role, but they're key people who can help share that vision. And those are the key people you want to win over for this.
What are some of the key areas in your parish that you found really needed to be renovated and go from mission or go from maintenance to mission? What were those areas, the key areas that really kind of made this philosophy of church growth explode in your own life?
Well, I think first of all, you know, someone once said, "Don't just do something; just stand there." You know, and that is first of all, you know, action comes out of identity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes parishes are just busy doing things, and we need to start with identity. So, really, the first year or so in my parish, I spent a lot of time in preaching and teaching about the nature of the church and the call of the church to be missionary, and looking at the call to the new evangelization since the Second Vatican Council, and really laying out a framework and constantly raising the question, what does it mean to be church? And really calling into question people's presumptions. So that's really the first thing, is the question of identity. Who are we? And I make the case in the book that the primary crisis is an identity crisis, because we do see mission as something that, well, it's a good thing and we could possibly at some point get to it, but it's really optional, really, if you look at what we do as opposed to what we say. Whereas we need to keep before us that we are essentially missionary. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And then I would say that, you know, there's some easy ways to begin to change things, and that is, I like to speak of the three H's: hymns, homilies, and hospitalities. They really change the weekend experience. And that's, of course, addressing music, that we have music that's uplifting and engages sure. people into what worship of God, that we have preaching that's transformative and not merely informative, preaching that is relevant, and then hospitality. A smile goes a long way, and those are immediate things that can begin to make a change in your parish.
You mentioned how you began by preaching, and for almost a year talking about what is the church, what are we doing here, what is our role, what's our identity. Kind of go into your own story of your church just for a few minutes on the process that you went through and how you saw the parish beginning to change, the dynamism, the attitude, the people coming alive in their faith. What were some of the processes you went through there?
Sure. Well, to begin with, since my conversion was 17 years old, I found that there was a great gap between the experience of community that I had as a young person who had just encountered Christ in a very powerful way. I hung out with other young people who had the same experience, and then I go to my parish. It was a very different experience, and pretty soon I just went to my parents to get communion. Uh-huh. And so my whole life I've been burdened with this separation of how to find authentic Christian life and community, I'd have to be a member of a movement. And parishes just seem to have a culture of mediocrity and minimalism. And so that's been a passion my whole life. And it's really been the driving thing since I became a pastor. So I arrived at my present parish not only with that in my background, but having attempted for years at different parishes to implement the first stages of renewal. I inherited a parish that was the restructuring of three previous parishes that were all about a mile or half a mile apart. And I walked in 2 months after the building opened and people came under the roof for the first time. And my key message to people was, what's to stop the decline that necessitated closure and amalgamation from continuing to chip away at our foundations if we simply come into this new space and do everything the same? I said, renewal, it takes more than changing your address and furniture. We have this beautiful church.
Right.
But the Lord needs to make us different. We need to do church and become a different kind of church, to become authentically the church that the Lord is calling us to be. So by preaching this, and then one of the big tools, there's two tools that we used. One was the spirituality of stewardship, and we broke stewardship into three areas. Basically, time was discipleship, which is spiritual growth, and we did talent, which was ministry, and we did treasure. We did the 4 weeks on giving. We used those tools. And the second tool we use is a course called Alpha. And I propose this as a tool that can help us to turn outwards and reach those outside of the church.
Right.
And we had a great response to that. We trained over 120 people on team. And since then, we've put a couple of thousand people through Alpha. And normally our courses are 20-30% unchurched people. In fact, we're launching a new course tonight.
That's beautiful.
Very excited about that. So as people began to take it, 5 years later, 50-60% of our parishioners have gone through Alpha, and many of them have been on team. Many of them are now in home groups, in mid-sized groups. We have 11 different mid-sized groups in homes. We have small groups. It's very, very exciting. But in truth, it takes time. It takes time, but it's little bits at a time. The cumulative change is incredible, and you see the Lord work.
It's exciting, isn't it? As a pastor, it's got to be exciting.
Oh, Jeff, I've been... I mean, don't get me wrong. We don't have all the answers. We make tons of mistakes. I like to say, I'm not convinced our answers are the right answers or the best answers, but I think we're asking the right questions.
Right.
I like to say that. And as someone said, things are never quite as good as they seem from the outside and never quite as bad as they seem from the inside. But at the same time, I have to say, I feel like I've got to pinch myself. I'm so blessed. One sense, I've inherited the incredible fruits of the labors of the pastors who went before me. I think of what Jesus said, you will reap what others have sown. And that's certainly a part of it, because there were great men who led these parishes before I did. But it's been such a blessing, and such a blessing to gather such a great team. We've grown our staff team, and that's an integral part of this process, is that as you raise up more disciples, as people are evangelized, then, often they will begin to give more because they take ownership of the mission of the church.
Yep.
You reinvest those resources and hire more staff, because if we're going to raise up missionary disciples, they require a lot more work than kind of, sometimes, what can be kind of your average, I shouldn't say this, but kind of comatose Catholic. You know what I mean,
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
It's a lot more work.
Well, your brother priests have got to be excited about this when they come to you and say, well, thanks for kind of figuring this out and putting it in a book and demonstrating it to us. We just have a couple minutes left. And I need to ask you, we're making this book, Father, our Rediscover book club book. And so we're going to have a lot of people reading the book on how to, it's called Divine Renovation, going from maintenance to mission in your church. As people get this book, give them a little advice. What can they expect from the book? How should they approach this book? How should they not approach the book?
Sure. In one sense, I'd say that in the United States, the book actually has a different subtitle than the one that I put in and the one that's elsewhere in the world. It's my subtitle was more abstract, from a maintenance to a missional parish.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. subtitle is Bringing Your Parish from Maintenance to Mission, which kind of almost indicates that the book's a how-to book. I'd like to begin by saying it's not. It never was intended to be a how-to book. How can I tell people to do something I haven't done myself? We're right in the middle of it. We're still doing it. We're still, you know, working away at it. But the book is about 50% theology, and the rest of it presents some working models that I think will be useful to people. In terms of more direct implementation, I know there's a reader study guide out there.
Yep.
Also, we've developed a divinerenovation.net website, and we actually, our podcast, we've produced 6 podcasts so far, the Divine Renovation podcast, that go deeper into the how-tos. They just went up on iTunes this week. Just heard today, however, that the downloads, there have been so many downloads to the website that we've maxed out a website. So there may be technical difficulties there, but divinerenovation.net, we'll get that fixed soon. The other thing is we're hosting a conference in June next year, and we've got, you know, a number of speakers coming from around the world to speak at it, but mostly our own parish staff, and it's going to be drilling deeper. So
good.
We'd love for anyone who's listening to come up and visit us in Halifax. It's June 13th, 14th next year.
What's
as well.
The temperature up there in June?
It can not too bad. The snow will be gone by then.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you out in Denver at the Amazing Parish Conference, and hope to see you again and work with you. I believe that what you're doing is very important at this time, and it's very, very exciting. So God bless you on all of your work.
Jeff, thanks so much. I hope to see you at the next Amazing Parish. Again, there's an amazing tool, an amazing conference as well for anyone who can go to that as well. So God bless you, Jeff, and your ministry and all those listening in.
You too, and have a great day.
Okay.
Father James Mallon, he is the author of Divine Renovation from a Maintenance to a Mission Parish. We're making that available in the Archdiocese as the book for our book clubs coming up, and you can go to our website, archspm.org, and find out all about that. Your small group can discuss it, and as Father said, it's not the silver bullet, it's not a how-to, but it's going to give you an awful lot of ideas on how your parish can really change its whole mindset from maintenance to mission, and I'll tell you what, that's what being a disciple of Jesus Christ is all about. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk with Judy Cousins, and she's going to talk to us about the Traveling Crucifix and Chalice program from the Sarens. Rediscover.
Local coverage of the Pope's visit to the United States on Relevant Radio is brought to you in part by St. Hubert Catholic Community of Chanhassen, a parish committed to helping you find and share the gift of God's grace in everyday life. St. Hubert Catholic Community of Chanhassen is celebrating its 150-year anniversary and welcomes your visit and participation with their parish family.
As a business owner, you know that cash is king, but most customers prefer credit cards. This is Steve Jenkins with MyCard Solutions. We provide card payment services and equipment to businesses. We offer the very latest in secure payment technology and excellent customer service. Call today at 763-535-7375 and see what we can do for your business. MyCard Solutions is proud to present the local coverage of the visit of Pope Francis.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. Pain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, and it's a beautiful fall day here in the Twin Cities, and that's one of my favorite times of the year, you know it? Where it's nice and crisp, and you don't get too hot, you don't get too cold, and everything's changing. Isn't that true with life? Everything changes, and even the changes of life can be beautiful, and you can grow and you can learn so much just through the changes of life. And maybe you're going through that. I encourage you to cling to Jesus and cling to the Blessed Mother, cling to the Eucharist, and they'll be with you through that change, whatever it might be. It could be a health change. It could be a job change, maybe a family change. But I want you to know something today. Maybe you just turned on the radio on 494 or 694. I want you to know you're not alone. You are not alone. And Jesus is here with us, walking with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. Joining us on the show today is Judy Cousins. You know her. She's been on the show many times. Her son, Bishop Andrew Cousins, has been with us also on the show. And Judy, it's good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's always fun to talk about vocations and Sarah and wonderful things happening in our archdiocese.
And I want to talk about Sarah, the organization Sarah, because you guys have a new saint now. We're going to talk about that. But have you been traveling lately?
Yes, I went to Washington, and it was absolutely wonderful. It was just such a blessed event. Everything in the whole city seemed reverent, and the people that lined the streets were polite and kind, and I had a great experience. There was a little lady in the hotel. She was all dressed up, and she waved at me, and she said, "Are you here to see the Pope?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I am." And she said, "So am I. I'm a Black Baptist from Mississippi."
Oh, really? That's wonderful. Well, you know, it's true. He seemed to attract everybody.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. And there was such a good spirit in the whole place. It was just wonderful. And, of course, to actually see someone, we have prayed for Blessed Junipero Serra to be our canonized a saint for many, many years, and so to see it happen and to hear our Holy Father name him a saint was just a wonderful thing.
Well, you are the Vice President for Vocations in the Serra Club of the Twin Cities here, and this is, I want to kind of define this, because when I first came back to the Catholic Church, I heard people saying Serra, Seren, and I wasn't sure exactly what that is, but you're the vice president locally here.
I'm actually the vice president of the United States Council.
Oh, you just got a raise. All right, that's good.
I got an increase in pay too. It was doubled.
That's great. But when we talk about the Serens, explain a little bit of the background and what you do and who's involved in that.
Well, we belong to a club named Serra after our new saint, and a Seren is a person who has decided to actually work for vocations in the church. You know, one of the things that happened when Father Andrew was ordained a priest, one of the things I said to him, you know, I'm near retirement. What can I do to help the church? What can I do to be involved? And he said, "Mom, be a Seren," because Serens are working to bring the sacraments to the people in the future. They're working to bring the education of our youth to the future of our church. And I thought, wow, that's great. That's what I want to do.
That's beautiful. And you have a new initiative that is just really being launched, which we had an opportunity to talk about it a couple of weeks ago. I found it so exciting. You have, you know, remember what John Paul II said when he talked about the new evangelization? He said that we have to have new methods and new ardor. And the Serens have found a way to bring two key things into the lives of Catholic families that have the potential of really being transformative. Talk to us about that new program.
Okay, well, we have a program we call the Serra 5-Star Program. It has five things you can do, but one of the greatest ones is the Traveling Chalice or Crucifix Program. And the idea behind this is that we take that chalice home from church, and we have, like, it's in a little tabernacle. You can open the doors, and at your family table, pray for vocations, and pray that each one of us is true to our vocation in life, and that we listen to God about what our vocation should be if we're a child. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't do that with children. We don't talk about God's plan for our life, because we're really happy if we follow God's plan for our life. And this gives the family a chance to focus on that, on holy marriages and on the priesthood and religious life, and to talk about it.
And this is currently taking place in the Twin Cities.
Yes, we have it at several parishes. It's going to be starting at St. Anne's in Hamel this fall, and everybody's already signed up at Holy Family in St. Louis Park, and other parishes on Nativity in Bloomington. Lots of them have it, but the other good news is if you would like to start a traveling chalice or traveling crucifix program in your church, we would like to help you.
Oh, that's fantastic. So let's say that, let's say my family signs up. I'm at St. Vincent de Paul up in Osseo.
Okay.
And I sign up, and how does it take place? Do I go to the church and pick it up, or does Father give it to me at Mass or before Mass or when?
The parishes each choose the way they would like to do it, so it's sort of customized to the parish. Quite often, the priest will give it to you right before Mass in a sacristy, or sometimes they give it to you at the end of Mass. They ask the family to come up and take the chalice home or the crucifix home, whichever the priest prefers. We try to honor our priest by doing it the way they would like us to do it. And so we take that home, and then we set that on our table or a place of honor, and ask the families to sort of pray daily take 5 minutes to pray mm-hmm. around the chalice. And there's some recommended prayers in the program, but also maybe you just want to say a decade of the rosary, like the Annunciation, where Mary said yes in her life. What are you going to say yes in your life to? You know, how is the Lord calling you to do that?
Do you know what I like about that so much is that the physical gesture of bringing the chalice into your home and putting it into a prominent place in your home where people need to walk around is really a picture of being of welcoming the Eucharist into your life individually and bringing that home and living your life Eucharistically centered.
And it just gives you a chance. You know, focus is so important. And in our very visual society we live in today, that chalice or crucifix is a focus. And it helps us say, yes, we are Catholics, we are devout Christians, and we want to ask the Lord what we want to do with our life.
Oh, that's beautiful. You have some stories to share? What do you see in the lives of families that you've talked to? That took the chalice or took the crucifix into their home, and they got back to you later and said, you know, Judy, this thing that the Sarans are doing is fantastic. It, fill in the blank.
Yeah, just this week, a gentleman told me, oh, I'm so glad we're starting the Traveling Chalice at my program. Our family did it a few years ago, and you know, I think it was what sparked the two vocations we have in our family, and they have a priest and a nun in the family. Mm-hmm. And they said that vocation talk really started by having that chalice come home. So of their five children, two of them have religious vocations. And that father was like, oh, I'm so glad we're getting this going again because we need to do this. Another example of was sort of interesting, a young man at a parish, he said his family never took the chalice home, but he, when he went to the seminary, they asked him, what brought you into the seminary now? And he said, well, you know what? We have this traveling chalice at our parish, and everybody's praying for vocations, and it gave me encouragement to come forward.
Talk to us about the memory book.
Oh, we have a memory book in the little program, and parents or children can write something that's special to them in the book. And we have just found it so wonderful to read what other families have written in the book and they have shared. It's just beautiful. And also it gives us a chance to look at families that might want to be invited to a holy hour to pray for vocations mm-hmm. or might want to come to another event at the church.
So if people want to know more information about how to bring this Sarin program, mm-hmm. This initiative
right.
to their church, tell us where they should go. What's the website and any kind of number?
Right. They can actually email me, okay. jcousins@msn.com. And, of course, it's spelled like the bishop's name. So you know how his name is spelled. So jcousins@msn.com. You could go to the Sarah USA website, too, sarahusa.org, and look up the five-star vocation program, which has the traveling chalice in it.
Well, I would be remiss to not ask you this question since you're here, and I work with your son. Bishop Cousins is my boss, so I'm talking to my boss's mom here. But I need to ask you, concerning vocations, talk to parents for a couple minutes about fostering vocations in their family, and what are a couple of things that they may want to think about to give their children a real chance at saying yes to Jesus?
You know, I think one of the things that's so very, very important is to be open and to talk about the fact that I always say a Hail Mary every day for my children when they were young and now for my grandchildren, that you will be chaste and holy in your life and give yourself to the vocation God is calling you to. And that, you know, it might be holy marriage, it might even be single life, or it might be a religious vocation, mm-hmm. but we want to pray about it. And that Hail Mary every day, they know Grandma's praying for them.
That's beautiful. And speaking of grandma, you have grandchildren, I have grandchildren, and you and I have been talking about developing more of a focused grandparent initiative and really reaching out to the grandparents, because the grandparents, they have such a unusual spiritual leverage in their grandchildren's life, as far as the grandchildren trust them, they love them, they respect them. And the Sarin initiative seems to be a wonderful opportunity for grandparents to take the chalice or the crucifix, bring it home, and have the grandchildren over.
Oh, it's just a beautiful idea, because once again, you're helping those grandchildren focus on it. And, you know, I always try to bless my grandchildren when I see them. And when I leave them or they go to bed, I bless them. And I always say, I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that, Megan, you will grow to be a holy woman and serve the Lord. And then we talk about how you serve the Lord. And so that's another way a grandparent can be involved. But that chalice or that crucifix in your home and gathering the family around to pray for the vocations God has in mind for us is just a wonderful idea.
We have a couple minutes left. I got to bring you back to Washington just for a second. What's that like to go to Washington as a mom and to see one of those bishops as your son out there? What goes through your heart when you see that?
You know, there's nothing better. People always say, oh, I want grandchildren, but let me tell you what, there's nothing better than seeing your son there serving the Lord, or to see him saying Mass and bringing the Eucharist to us, or hearing a confession. Wow, I feel so blessed to have that vocation in our family. And I would like to encourage you as a mom or a dad to say yes when your children come and talk to you about religious vocations, because oh my goodness, it's wonderful.
That's beautiful. Well, Judy Cousins, it's always good to talk to you. And once again, give us the email. If people would like to bring the chalice or the crucifix to their church so that each home can have a week with these beautiful, beautiful things of the church, you know,
right.
these wonderful, wonderful things, where do they write?
J Cousins, JCOZZENS at MSN.com.
That's fantastic. And folks, I really encourage you to do this. You only have your children for a few years, you know, and you've got to take advantage of that. And this would be a powerful thing. And I think that even when they're 30, 40, 50 years old in the future, they'll remember back where that week where mom and dad brought the chalice into their home and it was the center of their life. They'll never forget it. Well, thanks, Judy, and God bless you. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back, we're going to talk with Matthew James Christoph about the men's initiatives. It's exciting. Don't go away.
Rediscover.
Father Rob, I'm sure so many of our listeners are so overwhelmed with the war, the violence, this onslaught of ISIS, and we have now this Ebola outbreak. With everything that's going on, being so overwhelmed with so much, how do we then come back and put our trust in God?
I think about, and maybe another word of wisdom from Saint Teresa, a quote that I think some of our listeners have heard because it's quite well known, but she says, let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you, all things are passing, God never changes. Patience attains all that it strives for. One who possesses God finds nothing lacking. God alone suffices. Maybe it's an invitation in these troubled times to a simplification, to also a patience. In a time of great difficulty, we're called to just patiently stay with the Lord, and that patience will be rewarded over time.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins and got a special guest with me today. As you know, and I've been talking about for weeks and months, we are really focusing in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis on men. And we really believe that there is what we would call a man crisis today in the Catholic Church, with men understanding their role as husbands, understanding their role as fathers. And we're putting a lot of our resources and time towards this. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about it on the Rediscover Hour. One of the men who is really an architect of this movement that's starting in the Twin Cities and moving out throughout the entire country is Matthew James Christoph. He lives here in the Twin Cities, and I've been working with him in the Office of Evangelization for, since I began here about a year and a half ago, and he's got some exciting ideas, and every week or so, we want to let you in on some of the great things that are taking place with men here in the Archdiocese. Matthew James Christoph, welcome to the show.
Well, Jeff, it's so good to be with you.
There's so much happening right now, and you know, we haven't had the opportunity to sit down on the show and talk about some of these things, and I hope to do that more. But everywhere I go right now in the country, as far as the websites and hearing about travels, I'm hearing about you and your passion for men and seeing men serve Jesus Christ. So something's happening out there.
Well, thanks be to God. Jesus is calling every man, and I think maybe I'm remarkable proof that Jesus can do great things with anybody, even with the most resistant of men. And so I've been called to help raise awareness that there is this serious man crisis. It's having an incredibly damaging impact on not only men's lives, but the lives of their wives and their family and their children, on the church and on greater society. So this issue of drawing Catholic men to Jesus Christ is absolutely critical. And we can have great hope because we know that Christ wins in the end, and he's calling all men to help mm-hmm. be part of it.
Well, I can't go into all the details right now, and some of it's still in the oven, but we've got some big, big plans for this archdiocese that we're going to start letting people know about. And in fact, coming up next February 27th is our big men's conference at St. Thomas, and we're going to be unveiling some stuff there that is very, very exciting. So I'd ask all of our listeners, both men and women, to start praying for the men of the Archdiocese, and particularly for that date, which is February 27th. But until then, we're doing a lot of work with things like Man Night. Now, a lot of people have heard of Man Night. What is Man Night?
Well, Catholic Man Night is a very simple idea, and it started back with Bishop Pichet, and we asked him, why are men so casual in their faith? And he said very clearly, it's that they don't know Jesus Christ. So Catholic Man Night's a really simple idea. It's a way to gather men together in a parish to meet Jesus Christ. We've got 35 topics at this point that men can learn about Christ. You have one topic in a night. You hear a bishop or a priest or a deacon talk about that. You spend some time in adoration. You go to confession. And then you have a man feast with lots of, greasy food,
okay.
A lot of it, and usually some beer. And then you have a chance to build fraternity. We have a real crisis of fraternity, Catholic fraternity, and that can have great power. We've done approaching 100 of these, and we've drawn thousands of men. And, frankly, everybody that goes to one of these things just loves it. So,
well, I went to a variation of a man night not too long ago. In fact, Father Bear was speaking. And I got to tell you, it's just exciting to see all these men come together who we all have the same common problems. We have the same challenges as one another. But there's something about coming together that strengthens one another. What do you think that is?
Well, our Lord and the church, and the church in the broadest terms, in Scripture tells us that iron sharpens iron, like one man sharpens another. This idea of men getting together helps a man understand that he's not in the battle alone, mm-hmm. And that there's other men that are out there. And too often, the church, so many men don't feel that the church is for them. And when they see a group of men together, that are good men, great men, trying to be better husbands, trying to be better fathers, it's infectious. And men want to be better men. Men aspire to greatness. And that's really at the core of what you're leading here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, is a call to men to be Catholic men of virtue, Catholic mm-hmm. men who take their faith seriously and want to make a difference.
It's happening and it's exciting. You know, the name that we're giving this at this point is Catholic Watchmen. And a Catholic Watchman, if you read Psalm 127 in verse 1, you'll see that Catholic Watchmen, that idea is taken from what men do best. And tell me, what in your history and your experience, what do you think men do naturally?
Men are protectors. They want to protect and provide for their families. And you know, any man knows this, like if something's happening around the house and it's maybe trouble from the outside, somebody's knocking on the door, who goes to the door? It's very often the man. You know,
right. Imagine sending my wife downstairs to go figure out what's going on out there.
No,
right?
And you know, so men have a, you know, there's a beautiful complementarity between men and women. And so often what gets lost in our modern world is that everything's the same and there's no distinctions and everybody's interchangeable. That's just not the way men and women are built in the in the image of God. We have very distinctive, different things. And for men, that idea of being a Catholic watchman, being a protector and a provider and a leader, not in a domineering way, but in that kind of spirit of St. Joseph, that self-sacrificial servant. I think that's what every man's called to do. And frankly, every woman would love to have as her husband.
Good point. You know, and I've mentioned this before, but if you interview women and you ask, what do you want of your husband? What do you really want of your husband? It's very, very common answer. They'll say three things typically from what I hear. Number one is I want him to be the spiritual leader of our family. And a lot of men, I'm not sure they believe that their wife really wants them to lead. And when you lead, you bring comfort, you bring security to your family. They also say, I want him to pray with me, which doesn't take a lot. You know, there's a lot of beautiful written prayers that you can pray with your family. And the third is, I want him to teach our children and be an example. And that's what Catholic Watchmen is going to be focusing on quite a bit. So there's also seven things that we're going to ask men to adopt in their life to become watchmen. What are those seven?
Well, at the core of why we have a man crisis is that in our society, men don't know how to be men, and men don't know how to be Catholic, so they don't know how to be Catholic men. So the idea behind Catholic Watchmen is simple. We're going to just challenge men to do seven things that every man should start doing. One is to have a daily prayer life. Only about 15-20% of Catholic men are doing that today. There's a big opportunity.
Which should be natural.
It should be natural. It's basically spending time with God, making time for God. The second is, at the end of the day, to never end your day before you go to sleep without spending a little time having an examination of your conscience. You know, things went well, things didn't go well, and you know, thank God that he's going to allow you to live through the night and wake up the next morning, and that's what we're asking
for. Make some adjustments.
So those are daily things. Weekly, we want men to be keeping the Sabbath. You know, God has given us a seven-day week. We can give one day to God, and that changes that idea of changing and giving your day, one day, the Sabbath to God, has a dramatic impact on the life of a family. We need men going to Mass every week. It's a precept of the Church, you know, and it's not so many men think, you know, what can I, I'm bored in Mass, and we need a change in mindset. It's like, what am I giving Christ? I'm going to give him an hour of my time at minimum on Sunday and give him glory and, you know, enter into his presence and peacefulness. We need our men reading Scripture to meet Jesus, not only by themselves, but with their wives and their children, especially their children. This is a major part of what Catholic men have got to do. They've got to be the ones that are helping pass that faith along to their children. The best way to do that is to read Scripture with their children. And then once a month, men need to do two things we're calling men to do. One is get to confession. Only 2% of men are getting a confession on a monthly basis. 65% of Catholic men are looking at porn on a monthly basis. We have a huge number of men that are in deep mortal danger. And, you know, getting confession is just something that every man's got to build into their monthly approach. And then the last thing is Catholic fraternity. Men need to get with other men, Catholic men, on a monthly basis. This will have a dramatic impact on their lives and on the lives of the Church and the lives of their family.
And I've noticed that if men are alone, they scatter. And if they are together, they're accountable. And they're brothers. They're a band of brothers, you know, moving along. Well, that's so exciting. And we're going to learn more about these 7 points of a Catholic watchman here in the Twin Cities as the days, weeks, and months go by. With the last couple of minutes that we have left, there's a big event coming up in just about, 7, 8 days from now?
Well, it's just 7 or 8 days. We have a men's pilgrimage to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's being led by Bishop Cousins. Bishop Cousins is so interested and so active and going to be leading our efforts to the evangelization of men. This is a great opportunity for men to band together. We're expecting a lot of men. If you haven't signed up yet, you know, hurry and see if you can still get a slot. It's an all-day event, and you can find out more about it by...
You got some information you can send us
to? I got some information. I'm trying to find it here. I don't have it memorized. You can go online at the Catholic Spirit at the Archdiocese and find that information.
Sure. I mean, all you got to do really is Google Bishop Cousins Pilgrimage to La Crosse, Twin Cities, and you can find it there. But you can always go to our website, archspm.org. That's archspm.org. And you will just have to do a little search there and you'll find out. But it's only $70. That price includes transportation, lunch, dinner, and all the programming. It's for you guys. So ladies, if you are listening now, you might want to go there and find out the information. Give it to your husband. Encourage him to get out of town. And pick up times at 7:45 in the morning, return 9 p.m. Good time with the guys. So that's great. Hey, talking with Matthew James Christoph, and it's so good to talk to you, and we're going to continue to do this on a regular basis.
Thanks be to God. I'm so glad to be helping out on this.
And I would ask all of you listening, I'd ask you as my brother, my sister, to pray for us, that God would make us effective in reaching men. Listen, reaching men is the key to this new evangelization. And I know you know that, and I'm just asking you to pray with us. Pray with us. In fact, let's do that right now, shall we? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we lift up the men of this archdiocese to you right now, and we ask you to touch their heart, to reach out and go deep into the heart of all of the men in this archdiocese. Those, Lord, that are lost, those that have left, draw them back. Those that are broken, heal them, Lord. Those that are strong, employ them in leadership in their parishes to be examples to other men. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we ask for the intercession of Saint Joseph. Amen. Well, my friends, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Finding a company like A.J. Albert's Plumbing with two generations of experience and reliability can help you turn your plumbing project into a one-stop process. Remodeling or updating a bathroom is easy with a call to A.J. Albert's Plumbing.
I'm Matt Alberts of A.J. Albert's Plumbing. Our family business is a Relevant Radio sponsor because of the values we share. If plumbing needs arise in your home, or you'd like to quickly and painlessly upgrade a bathroom, I hope you'll contact us at A.J. Albert's Plumbing. You can visit our showroom, or we'll come to your home.
For a bathroom remodel, water heater, or fixes throughout your home, benefit from the visit of a reliable plumber. Contact A.J. Albert's Plumbing at 651-738-0580.
Make sure when you call to let us know that you are a Relevant Radio listener for discounts on fixtures or improvements. 651-738-0580. 651-738-0580. For two generations, A.J. Albert's Plumbing, there is a difference.
But I sing your glory now. I sing your glory now. I sing your glory now and forever. I sing your glory.
Welcome
now.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek with a look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities now. St. Raphael proudly presents Reaching for Faith Saturday, October 3rd at 8 a.m. From 8 a.m. to noon at the Church of St. Raphael in Crystal. Come join us for a morning filled with Catholic inspiration. Bring a friend, bring your family. Day begins with Mass at 8 a.m. with talks to follow by Dr. Ian Murphy and Rachel Liu with light refreshments, music, and exhibitors throughout the event. Free daycare provided. For more information, go to StRaphaelCrystal.org or call 763-537-8401. Beginning Sunday, October 4th, St. Pius X in White Bear Lake will have a 7:30 p.m. Mass. It's geared toward families and younger Catholics with praise and worship and a welcoming environment for you and your family. What makes an amazing Sunday experience? St. Pius X invites you to come and see. For a complete Mass schedule, go to churchofstpiusx.org. That's churchofstpiusx.org. Curatio Apostolate for Healthcare Professionals, along with the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies, presents noted speaker Christian Brueger Wednesday, October 21st at the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Title of Professor Brueger's talk will be Catholic Perspective on Dying, Renewing End-of-Life Care and Obligations of a Holy Death. Evening begins with Mass at the Center for Catholic Studies Chapel, then reception, dinner, talk to follow at McNeely Hall. For more information, visit CuratioApostolate.com. That's CuratioApostolate.com. Marianne Koharski of Pro-Life Across America will be featured at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Rosemount, Monday, October 19th, 7 p.m., for a talk on raising Christian children in a secular world. All are welcome. St. Joseph Church is located at 13900 Biscayne Avenue in Rosemount. It's fall festival time. The Church of St. Peter in North St. Paul invites you to their fall festival this weekend. Saturday, October 3rd, Nathan's Old Time Band will perform for you while you enjoy a delicious roasted chicken dinner. Also, games, inflatables, bake sale, and more. Sunday, the world-famous Pancake Man will serve all-you-can-eat pancakes, 9 to 1. Stay for more fun until 3. Learn more, visit churchofstpeternsp.org. And St. Albert's in Albertville will host their fall festival this coming Sunday, October 11th, 11 to 4. Activities include kids' games, country store, raffle bingo, and a wall of wine. Go to the church website for more details, churchofstalbert.org. The Benedictine Center is offering a dementia support group Tuesday, October 13th, 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Paul's Monastery in Maplewood. The group will give caregivers a chance to share their journey with others and find renewal. For more information, call 651-777-7251. That's 651-777-7251. Next week on the Rediscover Hour, Jeff will visit with Sherry Waddell and Patrick Sabat. Sherry is both the co-founder and co-director of the Catherine of Siena Institute and the keynote speaker at the upcoming Fall Formation Day for pastors, parish staff members, and parish leaders. We'll also talk with Patrick Sabat, the custodian of the world-famous International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima. The statue has visited more than 100 countries. It'll be at the 2015 Fatima Congress in Minnesota. Next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.